Welcome, everybody, to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for the City of Bettendorf, April 20th, 2011. Roll call, please.
Bennett?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Kepler?
Here.
Loss?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Quinlan?
Here.
The first item on the agenda for action is the minutes of the March 16th, 2011 meeting. Do I have any additions or changes to the minutes? Do I have a motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. This is the Plan and Zone Commission meeting. We are a recommending body to the City Council. We recommend on items that are properly before us. Tonight, we have some preliminary plat, final plat, and a couple site developments that we will review. When the item that you are interested in comes before us, we will have our little discussion and talk to the staff, and then I will open it up for public input. I would ask that somehow you raise your hand or something so I can try to orderly recognize you and then give you the opportunity to go to the podium on my right, your left, and state who you are and provide us with the input that you want us to consider in connection with the matter before us. That having been said, the first item, or number five on the agenda, is the preliminary plat. It's case 11019. It's the villas of Glenn Givlin. Maybe that's right, but that's what I said anyway. Submitted by Town and Country Manor Development Corp. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, the area that we're looking at is pretty much encompassed within this darker outline right here. Originally, there had been a preliminary plat done for this entire area, and then that originally was narrowed down to a residential type of preliminary plat for this area done by Dial Corporation. The only final platted area that resulted was this right here, Highlands Point First Edition. Right now, the petitioner is only looking at the area outlined in green and black right here for his proposed preliminary plat. This is what was originally submitted as the preliminary plat for Lot 10, Shops at Highland Point, First Edition. This is done by Dial Corporation, and the area approximately that we're looking at tonight is right here. This is a magnification of the area involved, sectioning out a piece of that preliminary plat, and the area that the developer's concerned with mainly accesses right here off of Devil's Glen Road, and this is going to be changed to a circular drive that comes back out to Devil's Glen. This is the proposed preliminary plat. The lots are now under an R3 zoning designation, which basically permits the single-family attached structure or duplexes to be placed here. There are 22 different lots of ownership. This area also will have this easement at some point in the future if the commercial development down here would want to attach a recreational trail through this area. The easement is there for it. Mainly right now it's a drainage way easement with a mechanism here to collect water in this outlot, which is designated for stormwater detention. And then there are other areas here that are used to convey that water from here, here, and here to the detention area. Staff, in looking at this proposed preliminary plat, supports the petitioner's request with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Greg, I have a question as far as the future recreational trails. If it goes through the detention basin, how will that be handled?
Well, it would have to be based on where the elevation is, where that easement is. Right now, we pretty much look at the sidewalk over here as the main means for the recreational trail. That was decided later that 10-foot wide all-purpose structure would be what would be substituting for anything coming in here. We left this in here, though, for a means not just of a trail area, but also for any other widening needed potentially for a sanitary sewer area, too, because if you do look at excavation, the wider the easement, the more easy that can, that run can be made to make repairs in there.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for the commission? I have one hand anyhow. Yes, sir.
I'm just curious. I'm new to the area.
Okay.
So my question may be kind of dumb. But that reservoir area he identified, is that just west of Duck Court?
No. Would not be. Kilt Court area is here, and this has been substituted out, I believe, that outlot there. The area we're looking at is up here.
Okay, so what area is he talking about?
Right here.
That's the area over there that we're talking about.
Oh, you're down here.
And you're down there, right.
This right here, there used to be, I believe, an area here for detention, and I believe that's been substituted out by a replatting of this area here.
Okay.
Any other questions from the audience? I don't see any. What's your pleasure?
Just one more
go ahead,
question.
I'm sorry.
That's
yeah.
Okay. Greg, just what's inside the loop, the outlet A? It made reference to a mailbox.
Well, yeah, we're...
What's in there?
We want the developer to contact post office about putting a mailbox. This is just an outlot area that's used pretty much. It's a remnant left over from the circular drive, and that would be an area that would be probably best suited for mail delivery. Right now, the post office is going to a consolidated system whereby there is a box with numerous mailboxes within that structure, and that's where the residents go to pick their mail up. It makes it more economical for the Postal Service to drop mail off, and it's a common practice right now. The delivery door-to-door is something that's a thing of the past. So we made that suggestion to have that placed there, and that way it's not an obstruction anywhere else.
So is it basically just going to be an open green area then?
Yes, it's up to the developer as to what he may want to do with that.
It says, makes reference on the one plat, that one, it says something about existing structures to be removed.
Be a farm house and some other things up there.
Okay.
It's part of what was old Stoltenberg Farms Corporation property.
And then would parking be permitted on both sides of the street in this development then?
I believe so. The width is wide enough here of the right-of-way, 52 feet, and then it's 31 foot paved.
Okay. That's all I had.
Okay. Any other questions? Anybody want to make a motion?
What would be the approximate value of these condominiums, right?
They're actually, kind of duplex condominiums or whatever you want to call them. Two units, town villas they call them nowadays.
The developer's in the audience, and he could speak to that.
Yep. The developers can maybe answer that question.
Is he here?
He's right behind you, yep. He's going to go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dan Dolan.
Yeah,
I'm the developer and builder of Villas at Glengavlin. Our base price is going to be in the 220s. I have a similar product that we're building right now in Davenport, and nobody buys the base model. So if you want to spend more money, I have lots of ideas.
Okay. Any other questions for the developer now that he's here?
Do you have any pictures of what these duplexes will look like?
I have a couple of hundred duplexes I could give you addresses of. I have pictures, but they're not here tonight. We had several meetings.
As far as this development goes, we have no pictures. Is that correct?
These buildings I've built many times before.
That's not the question I have.
I understand. You say, do I have pictures tonight?
No.
I don't have any pictures here tonight.
All right. Anybody want to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 11019, a preliminary plat for the Villas at Glengavlin.
Second.
Subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Then the next is a final plat of case 11020 at Sunhome First Edition, submitted by Harlan Sunhome. Staff report, please.
The area we're looking at is along State Street and 31st, right here. This site right now contains what is the old structure for Beavers East, and then automobile repair shop right here. It's known right now as McDonald First Edition. What the petitioner effectively wants to do is take and create a lot line basically like that. I can't unfortunately draw the diagonal that clearly, but that's basically what you're looking at right there, is that is a separation so that this can be sold separately to a potential user of this site. And this is the end result. Notes on the plat, and then also cross easements between these two lots, because there are four entryways, excuse me, along this area. And effectively, you can see the boundary right here. Staff would support the petitioner's request for replatting with conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions of the commission?
So, yeah, Greg, everything that's in lot one, the way it's set up now, would be conforming when
yes.
you split that out? Okay.
Any other questions? Anybody in the audience? I don't see anybody. Maybe I want to make a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 11-020, subject to the staff recommendations.
Second that.
Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion is carried. Thank you. Site development, case 11-021 is 333 18th Street, submitted by Gary Hintermeister. Why don't you give us a staff report on that one?
Mr. Chairman, the Bettendorf High School is, Bettendorf School System is proposing to change certain areas here and make additions roughly in these three areas right here. And everybody pretty much knows where the high school is off 18th here. This is Tanglefoot up here and Maple Crest down here. This visual shows the area as one would see it when looking north, and the addition that is intended here in the southwest corner. This photo here shows the new theater area that would be added if you were looking from the northwest and looking on the northwest side of the building, and then back in here further more administrative offices. And this area right here is the back end of the school building with the football stadium right here. This is the concession area, and this is also the athletic area being added for athletic facilities. Essentially, if you broke it out like this, these shaded areas indicate where the new structures would be added. That's area A, and then there's C and D here with the theater, and then there's more administrative offices there. And then area G here, showing the athletic facility being added. And then this area here is a concession area. This is an architectural breakdown. This is the view looking north right here. Again, the amphitheater type area, more office area here, and then the athletic area. And this is the sectioning out of the areas needing to provide additional landscaping where there is more of a build out. Again, the administrative offices being added here, the amphitheater area out here, and then this is along 18th Street, showing the landscaping facing 18th, and this is the further landscaping back here in the concession stand area. Here are the aerial views showing the athletic area with the concession area. This is a view looking toward the theater area and the office area. And then additionally, you would have, I believe, this area right here is the office area that's in the southwest corner. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, supports the petitioner's request for these projects' approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask if there are any questions.
Any questions from the commission?
Ms. Gregg, I have a couple questions about the overall impact on adding parking, adding cars, that sort of thing. Are we bringing additional office functions into the school? I mean, they're talking about
I believe there are, and at the present, I believe that there is a 200 space surplus that's available. And there was going to be additional parking added in the front, and the petitioner received a variance to have that parking located there, given its proximity to the structure, and that's for to make it easier for individuals with disabilities to get to the building. And that adds further, that's more parking on top of the already 200 space surplus that already exists. So we looked at that and felt that there would be no problem with the parking situation as it is right now. Also, some of the events that would occur in this assembly area would not occur during the same time as school hours, so you're looking at that shift again of parking.
If I may, Mr. Rafferty, and I hope the petitioner can echo this. The addition that's proposed on the southwest corner of the building is going to be the Bettendorf School Administration offices. Is that correct? Okay. I believe that's what your question was.
Well, my question was more about, I could see that, and I was wondering about, okay, we have additional people there, so do we have enough parking? That and also the expansion of the auditorium, and that was my question. And it sounds like that the parking aspects are taken care of. Thank you.
Any other questions? Anybody in the audience have any questions concerning this project or input? I don't see anyone. What's your pleasure then?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 11-021, subject to staff recommendations.
Second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. The next item on the agenda is case 11-022. It's 2185 53rd Avenue, and it's submitted by Mike Mead / McDonald. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, this location is south of 53rd Avenue and to the west of 18th Street. It's this lot here that's shaded in green. This is a view of the lot looking toward the west and showing the outline of the lot area. The boundary, in fact, does go up a little bit within this berm area over here, I believe, and then showing the entry again, full access off of 53rd. You can come in here if you're headed westbound, make a left-hand turn into the site. If you're eastbound, you can make a right-hand turn in here. This is the plat as it was originally stated as Hunter Meadows Commercial Park Second Edition, and I made sure that I included the restrictions in here. There really isn't much. There are some notes that do apply to this site, and that mainly deals with this buffer area right here that is part of this plat originally done back in the 1990s and the early 90s. But this gives you an idea of some of the restrictions that were placed on the subdivision. This is the site plan showing 53rd up here in the entryway here. A special use permit was already granted for the drive-through. The site plan also has detention maintained in here as well as this area, which was approved by our city engineer as meeting our standards for the 100-year storm. Parking spaces, and I'll go to a magnified version here. All these parking spaces met the requirement for the parking, given the square footage of this building and how much would be used for the actual restaurant functions. And then I already mentioned the drive-through, which is basically this area right here. That permit was already reviewed by the Board of Adjustment. They approved that as a special use. And basically, you're looking at the elevation, what the building would look like here. This is looking from the northwest, and that's looking from the northeast as to where it would, how it would look. This is the drive-through right here, and this is the traffic going toward the west. This is the landscape plan, and the landscape met with all of our requirements. We made sure that the buffer area was dealt with back here. There's fencing that runs here. There's this area here, which is fenced in as well for the trash receptacle, and then there's additional fencing along here. So we're trying to, I guess, make the developer understand that the neighbor's area, there should be buffering around here to shield off the externalities of this site from neighboring properties, and then the tree counts were all met with the landscaping requirements. Staff, in looking at this and reviewing the items that were before us on this site plan, we saw the items basically met our site plan checklist, and given that, we felt making a recommendation for the project because it had met our requirements is what we would do. And we make those recommendations with the conditions listed in the report. And I would ask, are there any questions?
One of my questions or concerns, I guess, is the ingress and egress. It's clear coming from the west to east, it's fairly easy to get in off of Falcon, but going the other way, coming from east to west.
I mean,
yeah, that
doing
traffic's
this,
there.
That's stubbed in for every particular lot that is in here, and the way this subdivision was pretty much laid out with the plat is what dictates that. So that constraint would be true for every lot that is in there,
right.
And anything like Frank's Pizza or any of the other businesses that are in there already face that constraint.
Other questions from the commission?
Can we talk, Greg, a little bit about the traffic pattern inside the site itself? It seems to me to be pretty difficult. Could we walk through that a little bit and talk about where the parking is in relationship to the egress?
I'll just go to the magnified view then.
The magnified one.
Greg, I think the landscape plan will show it a little clearer. There you go.
Okay, yeah, they took off the underground detention in here. This is all the parking right in this area right here.
Okay.
So the entry, one approaches it through this area, and I'm going to just so that one can either park here or has the option of going down through the drive-through, which splits out into two areas here. And then similar to what you have at, you know, like Burger King up here, if you've been to the one up in, you know, here in Devil's Glen, you got this split, and then you have the drive-through window right here, and then that traffic would proceed back out in basically this direction here, and then come back out. So that's sort of the traffic flow, as it were, for the drive-through, and then the parking is pretty much kept over here, so it's only angled one direction, because the traffic is going this way. And then this parking out here is kept separate from pretty much the flow interior here.
So the people in the handicap parking, for example, they have two lines of traffic that they're going to contend with if they back out. If that, I mean, the way I look at it, you've got the inbound for the takeout windows, and then you also have the outbound from the drive-through. Is that right?
They would be looking maybe at somebody coming in here like this. I believe this area, there's a median that is right here that separates the parking that it, or the drive-through, and that separates that area. Yes, there would be something here where somebody coming through the drive-through, you have your parking right here for handicap parking. Somebody can back out here and then come down this way, and then there is something, you know, of a drive-through part or drive-through traffic coming back down this way, and then yes, there is the parking right there.
So in 20 feet we have two lanes of traffic and some kind of a median.
I don't know if it's 20 feet. I believe it might be wider.
It says
right
I'm
here,
looking
and then
at 20
this is
feet
additional.
On the landscaping plan.
As Danny and I are looking at this, we don't.
I'm
think
sorry, it's 26 feet.
I think it's a painted line.
Okay.
26 feet.
Yep.
Bill, you said that was a painted line?
Hi, my name is Mike Dean. I'm with McDonald's. So let me just clarify that. That is a painted line. There will be no physical barrier behind those two lanes.
Okay.
It's just 20 feet of asphalt around. So. We are trying to force traffic flow a little bit here in terms of this being one way in this direction. The cars, as they exit our drive-through, are going to be encouraged to go through that one-way directional traffic flow, but they also, this is also wide enough for two-way traffic here, so they could, if they missed that turn, they could also go down that lane as well. So that's designed for two-way traffic.
You say that would be, I would expect people to miss that turn, you know. Yeah.
I mean, we did have other plans done, but the problem being is that we're trying to get cars onto our site, and if there's any backup in the drive-through, that it stacks on our site. Nothing is bleeding back out here on the fountain. So that, accompanied with working with the staff and some of the other setbacks and some of the neighborhood concerns, this is the design we've evolved into, and that we think that this is, given all the parameters, really the best plan. That's going to work. It's like Greg pointed out, it's a two-way order point here, so that helps move cars along.
Is the fence 6 foot or 8 foot? What's the fence?
The fence is
six feet.
Is there the arborvitae that are being planted on the other side of it?
And then can we look at, or do we have any information on what the lighting plan looks like? What are the lights on the site?
I don't know that we received that, or I didn't see that at least. But the lighting, again, for our ordinance, per the standards that are used, and they are industrial standards, the lighting has to be downcast and contained, kept, so that the lighting is within the site so that it is not shining out directly onto adjoining parcels.
So even if the poles were on the south side of the lot, they would be
yes, you'd have a device on the light or around it, a shade that would direct the light down directly to the ground.
Do you have an estimate of what average daily traffic would be in a site like this?
As far as car counts?
Yeah.
What's your proposed hours of operation?
Sorry?
What would the proposed hours of operation be?
I'd like to have the ability to go 24 hours, but we're open.
What about, like, rubbish pickup and things of that nature? When does that take place?
It generally takes place once a week, once or twice a week. And that would be something that we scheduled with our franchisee. Or franchisee who's yet to be selected.
Well, I'm concerned about, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, garbage pickup guy backing up and the beep beep going at 2 o'clock and you're, you know, 100 yards from a house. That's...
Could you, apparently we're having trouble picking up from the mic. Would you mind going back to the podium? We'll ask the rest of you to do the same when your time comes here.
Again, my name's Mike Mead with McDonald's. So in terms of the pickup for trash, that, I mean, if you wanted to put a restriction on your approval, we could abide by whatever you'd see fit.
Any other questions from the commission, concerns? Go ahead, Paul.
I'm concerned about how congested the site is. I mean, we hear complaints all the time about the old Duck Creek Mall, and this to me looks like it's going to be even worse, but I'll withhold my statement until later.
Anybody else? Anybody in the audience then? Go ahead, whichever one of you wants to. That's fine. And would you do me a favor of stating who you are and then thank you.
Sure. I'm Mandy Brown.
Okay.
I live at 5153 Dove Court, which would be behind the proposed building. And my concerns aren't just visually what we'll see, but what we'll smell, the sounds. There's not a berm or a tree that can really buffer that. Mm-hmm. Having two-story homes, doesn't matter what the height of the fence is going to be, we'll still be able to view it. I'm really concerned with the location being Falcon Drive. I don't think that's a good, if they want to, I'm not a hater of McDonald's by any stretch of the imagination. My children love to eat there. I don't want them eating there every day. My problem is, one of the problems is there's going to be a constant traffic flow. If you go by any McDonald's, there are 7-8 cars in line constantly. I mean, drive-through is predominantly their business. Most people don't go, I would say, I'm sure they can give you figures, but more cars go in than people during certain times of the day. And proposing 24 hours is even more disturbing than what I was anticipating. The traffic flow between 18th Street and Falcon is such a short distance that there's already a high traffic flow that turn on to 18th to stop that. I think there'll be bottlenecking coming in both directions. It's going to be dangerous to turn from, if you're heading west on 53rd, to come into that location. And I know that, I think perhaps if Bettendorf would like to add another McDonald's, putting it closer towards maybe the roundabout where it'd be easier access for those on Interstate 74. There's lots of land out there. When we first bought our home there, it was a different zoning, and we were told that it would probably be office space. Frank's Pizza was there. They are good neighbors. We don't have an issue with them. They're not open real late. There's many concerns, and I hope that you will take that into consideration. We were very disappointed to see that they had modified the drive-through for fast food at that location. I just don't think that's the optimal location. It's going to be infringing on our homes 24 hours a day, as they would like to see. And the only time they would pick up garbage is during the slow times, which would be in the middle of the night, I would imagine. And then there's noise. So I don't know how you buffer, the traffic, it's just, there's a lot to consider. I hope that you heed those questions for us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm David Bernchen. I live at 5177 Dove Court.
Okay.
Which means I directly abut that land. I'm not nearby. I abutted.
Mm-hmm.
because of a zone mistake that was made in 1992 when they rezoned our homes from C5 to R2, because nowhere else does R2 and C2 abut, and the restaurants in town don't have that issue. And I know your master plan doesn't allow that issue to take place. But anyhow, we've got some things we want to say, my wife and I.
Okay.
I stutter, so I'm going to give the floor to her, because I don't want to keep you here all night.
You're doing quite well, actually.
I'm Julie Burnchin, also at 5177 Dove Court. Start here? Okay. We stood here a couple of months ago before the Board of Adjustments. He shaved and wore a sports coat, wanted to look his best, believed that he was addressing a group of professionals. Sadly, we discovered otherwise. Clearly, their minds were made up before the meeting ever began. City officials stated their argument or case in favor of granting the special use permit. Then the residents were given time to make their argument or case. A few of the concerns were decline in property values, public safety, and crime. There are overwhelming studies that support these two concerns when high-intensity commercial development is near low-intensity residential districts. Noise, traffic, smell, the screening or buffer of the yard, rodents. You know, we talked about the C5 going to R2, and that being a mistake made in 1992. The 24/7, 363 days a year will affect all of the above and increase sleep deprivation for school-aged children, which most of us have. There's no precedence in Bettendorf in the past, currently, or going forward, in the comprehensive plan for a chain fast food restaurant with a loud, we called it squawk box for a better term, in a residential backyard. With all due respect to the city staff and John Sankson, the staff analysis set forth in Appendix B, Section 21.10.E standards. In the standards number 3, city suggests that a 24/7 363 days of the year McDonald's is of similar intensity to the Charm Boutique, Red Crow Grill, or San Asian restaurant. We have checked with all of those establishments on both sides of 18th and 53rd, and their hours of operation, the number of customers, doesn't even approach the intensity of what McDonald's would be. Common sense tells you that this is a no-brainer. It's just not the case. Standard number 6 states that the proposed use will not cause substantial injury to the value of the other property in the neighborhood. Staff goes into a lengthy discussion talking all around the standards but never answers the question as stated in the code. Probably because common sense, and again numerous studies, agree that residential district property values significantly decline when commercial property develops nearby. And we actually abut. Also, not all C2 properties are equal and will not have the same impact on property values. For example, McDonald's versus a 9-to-5, 5-day-a-week business. Let me ask each of you to consider whether McDonald's physically in your backyard would decrease the market value of your home. Appendix B, Section 23 of the City Code states that the BOA, before granting a special use permit, ensure that it is in harmony with the general purpose, intent, and spirit of the ordinance. That surrounding property will be reasonably protected, that it will not unreasonably diminish or impair established property values within the surrounding areas, and that it will not impair public health, comfort, safety, or welfare of residents. We think we kind of blew it on all counts. They didn't discuss, deliberate, or debate the merits of the argument made by both sides looking at the meeting video. They didn't even have the courtesy of addressing why they voted yes and rejected our arguments.
It is not right to say no and not say why. It felt like a kangaroo court. They have not rejected a special use permit since before 2004. So again, I stand before you tonight, we do, asking this commission respectfully to do its duty and to hold McDonald's to a higher standard on their site plan. City code demands that you do so. Throughout the code, you see numerous references to the following phrases that mandate that the bar be set high for McDonald's. First, the developer of a more intensive zoning district that is adjacent to a less intensive zoning district has additional requirements based upon them. Secondly, the regulations which are more restrictive or which impose higher standards or requirements shall govern where there are conflicts. Appendix B, section 18.11. Care about a few of the references in city code. 18.66.1, buffer yards and screening. A buffer yard shall be required when a use is established in a more intensive zoning district, which is adjacent to a less intensive zoning district. The owner or developer of the property within the more intensive district shall install and maintain a landscaped buffer yard on said property as set forth in this section. 18.66.9, required screening. Screening is required on all properties requiring a buffer yard when one or more of the following conditions in the more intensive zoning district is directly visible from the boundary of the less intensive zoning district. 18.66.12, the design of the screen shall be such as to be completely obscure the view of the noxious use from the neighboring property. 18.11.5E.4, site lighting and glare. Pole height shall decrease where possible near property lines and in low intensity use areas to further reduce glare. 15.27.4, rear yard. None required except when abutting a residential district. Then a rear yard equal to the adjacent yard required in the abutting residential district shall be required. These are but a few of the examples. Residential districts are where families live. Families are what have made Bettendorf the city it is today. Last July, Family Circle magazine named Bettendorf one of its 10 best towns for families. It's all about family in Bettendorf, Freemeyer said. It is time for all the city officials to walk the talk and reject this application by McDonald's. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We just wanted to make sure that it was understood that it's really tough on the city code when you have a high intensity next to low intensity, and especially a residential neighborhood. What kind of fence or screening are they going to put up to completely obscure the noxious use of that land? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hello. I'm Terry Schenk. I live at 2327 Lindenwood Drive, so I'm totally unaffected by McDonald's moving in, obviously, because I wasn't notified about it. I learned about it on TV. When these good people here made, for 45 minutes, made impassioned pleas to please don't put this restaurant in my backyard. After all of that time, it took the whoever made the decision about 27 seconds to summarily say, well, I don't see why not. You knew it when you moved in. There's nothing we can do about it. Actually, if they did nothing about it, they wouldn't have approved the special use variance and everything would be fine. But they chose to allow the special use variance. But my property value won't be affected. Why would it? I live clear down at the end of Lindenwood at the near the intersection of 18th Street. Frank's Pizza is the neighbor across the street from me lives directly on the other side of the fence from Frank's Pizza. Frank's Pizza is a good neighbor. I never even smell pizza. I can't wait to smell French fries as far away as I am. But be that as it may, these people have done, they're going to have a McDonald's in their backyard. It's a 1,200-pound gorilla in the room that we're not talking about. They did good research to tell you all the codes and reasons why it shouldn't be done. I don't have a single one. All I can tell you is I eat at McDonald's. But I don't want one that close to my house. And I can tell you, My property value is affected by McDonald's as far away as I am, because you know why? I wouldn't pay as much for my house as I did if there was a McDonald's that close to me. Noise, pollution, traffic, dangerous traffic. We've already had intersections at Falcon and 53rd. When people pull, I drive home from work that way every day. There's traffic backed up to the proposed site of this restaurant right now from 18th Street at 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock without a restaurant there. So my property value is affected. We passed some, I know there's a certain minimum number of people that have to be notified by the city that something like this is going to happen in their backyard. Maybe five or six people, I think. I don't know how many were actually notified, but I took it on myself to pass a petition. And the petition asked, do you support, please put your signature down here, if you support or don't support a McDonald's in this location. And I didn't just go six houses away. I went all the way, I went Lindenwood, Hawk, Hunter, Bob White, Bald Eagle. And the lady that was furthest away on Bald Eagle Court, you can look that one up on your little map, said, not in my neighborhood. She's a long way away, and she said, not in my neighborhood. Give me that. I had people coming out of their homes and coming after me to say, I'll sign it. But I have good news. Two people out of all those people that we talked to said they would support it. So we might have buyers for these two homes. Maybe that's a good thing. But actually, the one guy said, no, I'm for it. My kids like McDonald's. And I said, well, would you want it in your backyard? He goes, it isn't in my backyard. Absolutely. This isn't Bettendorf. I've lived in Bettendorf all my life. None of you, no one, wants a McDonald's restaurant in their backyard. It's not even, we're wasting time. Just looking to see if there's anything else that I haven't yelled about yet. Oh! Here's a beauty. That garbage corral. Does anyone want to tell me how many feet? Somebody said 100 yards. My God, 100 yards. Tell me how many feet that is from their house or from their property. And do you know what a French fry grease pit smells like? Now, they're going to pick it up in a week. Don't worry. It's virtually on their property. I think I'll just be quiet for a minute and let everybody think about that. But it's hard to do. McDonald's is a great neighbor for somebody, but it's just not. It just does not work in a Bettendorf neighborhood. Who thought of that? That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Penny, who lives at 5200 Dove Court, couldn't be here tonight. She sent this letter along, has her signature, and was asked if I would read it for her. Her property is actually the one that is right behind McDonald's. To whom it may concern, my name is Penny Jagers. I live at 5200 Dove Court. I cannot be present at the April 20th meeting as I will be in class at St. Ambrose. I would like to express my concern about the McDonald's property and the pending decision to approve the plans and zoning of the restaurant, and have asked a neighbor, me, to read this for me. While we were criticized by a member of the Board of Adjustments as he threw his hands in the air and said, you guys had to know this property was going to develop someday, I did not think that the property would develop into something with far greater intensity than the existing businesses. Currently, everything in the area closes by 10 p.m. Currently, in the Iowa Quad Cities, there are seven McDonald's locations, with five of the seven, or 71% of those, having a drive-through window open 24/7. I would think it would be reasonable to think this one may request to do the same. I would ask that if the plan is approved, that the drive-through window with its two ordering areas that face my residence be closed at midnight. In addition, I would ask that garbage pickup and deliveries occur at reasonable hours, not during normal sleeping hours. As you can see from the plans, there is only one entrance and exit to the McDonald's, and this is close enough to my property line to cause noise nuisance. You will also note that the speakers for the drive-through are facing the residential property. The winds in our area are predominantly from the north and west, which would carry noise created from these speakers into our residential area. These restrictions would allow residents in close proximity like me enough sleep. I personally work third shift and have had occasion to experience the effects of sleep deprivation. I do not want my high school student or other residents in the area to suffer these same things. I have a research article outlining the sleep requirements of teenagers as well as one that covers the consequence of sleep deprivation. I think that we would all agree that 8 uninterrupted hours of sleep is reasonable and that the consequences of sleep deprivation, such as motor vehicle accidents, are very, very costly to society. No other Bettendorf business has a 24/7 drive-up window. So far, that has not been something allowed, and I would ask that you do not allow it in this particular area, with it being abutted to residential area. This will create noise 24/7, more noise than is healthy from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. I would ask in addition that if this plan is approved, that I be given the maximum protection through the plan to obscure the view of the restaurant and protect my family from the noise. I realize that this will be a difficult task for the committee, as my property sits up from the McDonald's proposed site. Currently, I am able to visualize nearly the entire area with a 6-foot fence already in my backyard. I am also able to hear the voices of the gentlemen that mow the area when they are present and the mowers are not running. I thank you for your time and hope that you will consider these concerns that I have brought forward when reviewing the plans for the proposed site. While proponents of McDonald's will argue that property value will not decrease and that the noise will not be substantial, I would disagree with them. Are these trade-offs that we really want to make? I look forward to your response. Sincerely, Penny Jagers. Thank you.
Thank you. David?
My name's David Lundy. I'm here with my brother Curtis, and we represent the estate of our brother Tom Lundy that owns, who's the not-so-proud owner of the lot next to Frank's on the west. And I think any commercial development in that area, it would be welcomed. And I didn't realize it, and I'm sure you'll feel much better when your meeting's over, now that you're enlightened as to the ordinances. And I don't know how you made it through into the fourth month of this year without the knowledge that was shared with you tonight on how to do your job. And it's and also experts on property values. You know, a little of that thought might have been considered before moving next to a piece of ground that's zoned commercial. And those people at home, drive by that. I want you to make sure you know where we're talking about. Up at Frank's Pizza, those vacant lots in front there, from Lindenwood back down to the Kenilworth or whatever that street is, those condos, back 20 years ago, that whole strip where those houses are used to be commercial. And we've heard some comments the other night at the Board of Adjustment how the city made a mistake and they've done this and they've done that. They did not make a mistake. You ask all those people that live in there that have nice homes and love it there, what kind of mistake it was from turning it from commercial to residential. And it's and when that last street, which was alluded to somewhere during this proceeding, went from transitional to residential, that was the last one, and that was done well before any house was built there. Now, if the city did it after the fact, then the city would be 100% wrong. But they didn't. It was done, and the people moved in right next to it, knowing that it's zone C2 and what could possibly go in there. And this is one of the reasons Bettendorf doesn't have much commercial, because they've got these various areas around town zoned for it, And then when someone wants to come in there, like Frank, that poor guy, I sold him that lot, and he was going to go to Davenport. I said, Frank, this Bettendorf's where you want to be. There's good people live there. And he was treated so awful. There's guys run, like the guy lived down on the west part of Lindenwood, a little guy running around. He had a camcorder. He was going over filming Frank's place in Silvis to try to determine was there more carry out or more eat it. Yeah. You guys. And it's not the city's fault or anyone's fault other than the people who are complaining. They should have known this before they moved in there. And if the city and individuals that want to put a business in there should not have to go through this every time when the city says, I want, this is C2 and these various things are allowed to go in there. This committee ought to say, this is what goes in there and this is what's allowed. You bring it into Bettendorf and we'll get it in there. And all this stuff about noise and stuff, you know, that maybe, I don't know if there's, I'm not an expert and about the how it's loud or anything, but that's allowed under C2, and I think it ought to be, I think you ought to vote it in.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else want to address us tonight?
Yes, first of all, it was zoned for C5 where our homes were built to begin with, and then Doyle McCulley had it changed to a C2.
That's correct.
And to an R2, I mean, so he could put homes up. So that buffer, that transition zone, that C5 ordinance was removed.
That's
and what
should
have been done at the same time is all those C2 lots on the other side of the berm, like where Frank's and everybody else is now, should have been a C5 to be a buffer to leave that in there between the R2 and the C2, which then would have been the part on 53rd Street. And that was the mistake that was made. As far as we know in this, when we bought our homes, I've got the code from 1995, and McDonald's would need more than one special use permit to build today. So I had no expectation. Plus, when I think of a special use, I think, well, you even call it an exception. An exception implies that it's an exception to the rules. We're just asking to play by the rules.
I think the special, if I'm not mistaken, the special use had to do with the drive-up.
Yes, but if they would have, when I bought my home, they would have had to have more than that based upon the code.
Okay.
That wasn't affect them. So what I'm trying to say is a lot of us bought our homes, and subsequently the code has changed. For instance, when France was built, you took the special use permit for carry-out and made that part of an allowed use. We found that we need that now, as well as the drive-up. And that wasn't there when we bought our homes. So we could not have expected, when we bought our homes, that this type of development would be done behind us.
Thank you. Good point. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Ted Ravitzer with Iowa Realty representing McDonald's. A couple points of clarification that Mike and I would like to bring to your attention. The trash enclosure does not have any grease containment in there. They actually pump that out of the fryers into a secondary unit that's inside the building, and that gets pumped out, so there's no odors from that. The trash container typically has a compactor unit on there. It's totally enclosed, and so there's no chance of any rodents or smells coming out of that. The last point is I prepared a spreadsheet of about nine homes around the 53rd and 18th Street location that have sold from 2003 all the way. The most recent sale was in November of 2011. In each instance, be it there's been a gas station put up, restaurants, retail, there is no sale that has sold for less than what the previous sale amount was. And in some cases, some of these homes have sold multiple times. So I have a difficult time justifying that the home value does go down as it relates to commercial development being adjacent to residential. So thank you.
Thanks, Ted. Sir? You can do me a favor, and if you want to have a question, please go to the podium. So, thank you.
In regards to the property values, there's not a fast food restaurant that's been placed where they're speaking of, so I think that's a game changer as well, as far as whether or not we can get people interested. And if we do decide to move, which would be unfortunate because of a fast food restaurant, again, it's going to be the traffic flow, the noise, and the smell. I can tell you that I was at Bettendorf Middle School for a basketball tournament, and there was cloud coverage. I remember parking, going into the school, thinking, oh my gosh, I can smell Wendy's French fries. Plain as day, and look at the distance between where the Wendy's is on Spruce Hills Drive to the middle school, and it was the strongest smell. That's what we will be facing. And I'm sure, you know, based on whether there's cloud coverage and that kind of, you know, the weather will have an issue. But please, I'm asking you to please pay attention to these issues, because just because, you know, a corporation comes and wants to build on land that somebody owns and would like to sell and see profit, I understand that, but I think we can make a better choice and make better decisions for that area. That is going to be a traffic nightmare. So I know I've already said that, but I just wanted to bring that up again.
All right, thank you.
And I just wanted to say his spreadsheet doesn't really carry a lot of weight with me, because he's getting a commission to sell this commercial land. And that, in fact, unless he has a crystal ball and can gaze into the future and predict what the price of homes are going to go for after this is in, and if he wants to go against every study that you can research, do you really believe that a McDonald's in your backyard is going to bring the value of your house up? That's common sense again.
Okay. I don't want to cut anybody off, but there's been a number of good points made to consider, and if you've got some new points that you'd like to make, I'd certainly like to entertain those. Again, I'm not trying to cut anybody off, but it doesn't do any good to keep talking about the same things back and forth.
Good evening. My name is Pete Molt. I live at 5131 Dove Court, which is on the corner of Lindenwood and Dove Court. So my property it's buffered by several of my neighbors. I've got a couple questions or requests, I guess. You know, when Frank's Pizza came in, one of the contingents on them operating as a restaurant was the development of the berm that is behind that restaurant. And, you know, I enjoy Frank's Pizza, and I think people in the neighborhood do, and I don't know necessarily that it's been a problem for anybody, but it was directed by the city that Frank's developed that berm behind that development, and to cut off from the residential properties behind it. I don't see that an equivalent berm is in this plot that will also do the same thing as what was previously required by the city of Bettendorf for Frank's Pizza. So if you're going to require for Frank's Pizza, it should be required for McDonald's to do the same thing. And not only is McDonald's abutting residential, R1 or residential zoned property, it's all on the to the south and to the southeast, or I'm sorry, the southwest, but it also, there is a residence there, it's zoned agricultural, but the house is relatively close to the total western barrier of that property. So that a separation from this commercial property should also continue all the way up to 53rd to protect that property, as well as the Burchants and the Browns and the ones in the neighborhood of the court. I guess that was a consideration that I think needs to be pointed out and maybe needs to be looked at. The other is, in this diagram, from where the dumpster site is and the out service building, is there any reason that has got to stay in that corner of the lot, or can it get, can it be moved north in that plot towards 53rd? So the buffer between the dumpster, the outbuilding there, can be at 53rd Street. Those two, the two parking spaces there, as opposed to the two parking spaces at the end, and remove that portion of the concern of dumpsters and the concerns that go with them, move them to the north end of the property and make it a more viable, so if when their backup alarm on the trash collection vehicle is at 53rd Street rather than in than 50 foot from somebody's backyard. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can answer one of those questions.
Go ahead,
Mr. Chairman. Staff did talk to the McDonald's folks, and we looked at providing a similar berm between the McDonald's property and the properties to the south. Greg, you want to point out that sanitary sewer line that runs through that area?
You mean over in this direction?
No. Through the buffer area. There's a sanitary sewer line that
right
runs directly
and then there.
Through that. That prohibits us, because we may need access to get to that sanitary sewer in the future, of recommending a berm on that spot. So we did look at that. It's just not feasible to do that logistically if we have to raise manholes up another 10 foot and be able to get in there and service that sewer line if we have to.
I guess the last comment I would say is, at the when we were here for the special use permit, it was asked of the representatives of McDonald's that were here at the time, and it was asked at several times, some by the people granting the use permit, some by us in the audience and at the podium, is what were the intended hours of use for the McDonald's. And at that time, they told us they didn't know. They didn't say, yes, we're going to have a 24-hour restaurant. They told us at that time they didn't know. And I have a hard time believing that you can apply to McDonald's with a business plan to open an additional franchise and not have in that application your intended hours of operation. So I think when they presented to get their special use permit, I don't think they were necessarily honest with the granting of that special use. So, you know, it somewhat makes me question whether their traffic studies information is not available, or maybe it's just not given to us, or their studies on impacts on surrounding properties, or if it's not been given to us. You know, that part of it makes me question, and it makes me question too why, if, and it's within your power to do so, to require where they have their dumpsters, their hours of operation, the noise levels that they can produce. So I think, you know, if a McDonald's is going to be there, and we're all going to be good neighbors, we all also should be fully everything should be fully considered as to what needs to be in that plot.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, real quickly, as far as the hours go, I didn't want to misrepresent earlier this evening or be a dishonest. The hours for this location aren't set. When I was asked that question, ideally, we'd like to have the ability to stay open 24 hours. That's what we would like. That's not set in stone. I mean, we'll put that on the table. If you want to restrict the hours of operations, let's talk about that. But the idea was not to be dishonest. Ideally, we'd like to have 24 hours. Let's talk about that. Restrict it if need be.
I don't pretend to be an expert on any of this, but anecdotally, I think I've heard that McDonald's will only site a restaurant in an area if they have given projections for traffic. Can you tell us about that and how many cars or customers per day or week or whatever the parameters are that McDonald's uses to even approve a location for one of their restaurants?
I really wouldn't want to. I'm in construction. I'm a project manager for McDonald's. I wouldn't want to go on the record discussing traffic. I just, it'd be misrepresenting. So I can't really comment on that.
Okay. Everybody have a chance now? I think so. Some people will. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Kelly Meyer. I live at 2459 Lindenwood Drive. So I am not exactly on top of the property. My concern is to follow along with the traffic concerns that people are sharing along these lines. McDonald's core demographic is 18 to 34, and we do know that we do have a high school right down the road on 18th Street. McDonald's does an amazing lunch business, but they also do an extremely strong breakfast business. And I would like to put out that the concern is going to be the traffic, especially on 18th Street and also on 53rd, for all of our school-aged children that are walking to school, riding their bikes to school, and picking up on the bus routes up and down 18th Street. So let's face it, high school kids have more money to spend than probably you and I in our pocket right now, and they're going to be zipping up and down 18th Street to take advantage of a location like that. So a 24-hour store there is also going to be bringing them in after very crowded events. We've all been to Bettendorf High. We've been there to the football games. We know what kind of bodies pour out of there. So we're going to be seeing a lot of traffic up and down at various times like that. So I understand that the gentleman here is on the construction side of McDonald's, but I would like to say, is there a number or is there a way that we can get from the McDonald's organization on what their potential car count is there? Because we do have school-age children traveling up and down 18th Street during times that are going to be some of McDonald's peak times. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the commission? Any questions? Any more information?
Yeah, I would like to hear a little bit more about the Board of Adjustments decision. Did that involve the use of this area for a restaurant of this intensity? The question, the C2, a prohibited use in C2, is a drive-in restaurant. To me, this is an equivalent, a modern-day equivalent to a drive-in restaurant. And I just was curious whether the Board of Adjustment addressed that issue at all.
This same plan that you're looking at was presented to the Zoning Board of Adjustment. Zoning Board of Adjustment heard very similar testimony to what you did. I don't remember the vote. I think it was unanimous to approve the special use permit for the drive-through.
But did they address the fact that it could be a prohibited use?
It was mentioned that, I think it was by the chairman, that drive-through is different in their mind than a drive-in.
That's true. You did say that.
Drive-in, I think in their mind, is a place like the old A&W Root Beers where...
Sonic.
Or
the Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic. Sonic. So that was addressed, Chairman, or... Commissioner Rafferty, and they did mention that they felt there was a difference in their mind.
Anything else from the commission?
Any other ideas? I'd just like to add to that during the Board of Adjustments,
John did his excellent job of the nine things that it has to meet for the special use permit. And like I said before, one of them in particular said that it was of similar intensity to the other businesses in the area, Pearl Ridge, Frank's, Red Crow, Charm Boutique. So I really take, you know, strong objection to that. I just don't see where that's of similar intensity. It's a McDonald's is a 24/7. They close 2 days a year. These other places are open 5 days a week, some of them not even 8 hours a day. So I don't think it should have been granted for that reason. I also don't think that it's, like I say, the job of the Board of Adjustment is to make sure that they don't impair the property value of our house. And all these questions we brought up, if you review the video or look at the minutes of the meeting, none of them were answered. If they could have been answered, we might not be here tonight.
In fairness, the Board of Adjustment is a separate body, and they make their decision, and they don't answer to us in any
right.
way, shape, or form. They don't even answer to the City Council, as a matter of fact. Whether we like or dislike the decision of the Board of Adjustment, we have the decision of the Board of Adjustment, and we don't have a chance to change that, so to speak. I'm not saying that your points aren't well made. I'm just saying that we really don't have the power to change the decision of the Board of Adjustment. We have a different set of criteria that we have to operate under. Anything else from the commission?
I've got a question from the city staff that kind of piggybacks on a couple of the residents asking about McDonald's study of traffic count. Normally, I probably wouldn't even ask this question, but with it being a McDonald's and the volume of cars and personally driving that corner two or three times a day at least, have we looked at can that area really handle left turns getting out of there with the volume of cars?
You
are
going to
be through a McDonald's.
We commissioned, there was another business that you looked at their site development plan sometime back. That's a Centra Credit Union. So with the vacant lots that are here, the McDonald's proposed to come in, the city commissioned a traffic study to look at the development of this area. Existing driveways accessible. The plat said that, of course, no separate entries from 18th or 53rd other than Falcon Avenue. So that's the restriction that's on the plat. Couldn't do anything about that. And again, this isn't something the developer did. This is something the city commissioned. They came back and said that they did not see that the traffic load with the area entirely built out of the possible uses that could go here required any additional changes to either the intersection of Falcon and 53rd or 18th and Falcon. And I believe that's stated correctly.
I would have preferred to have read in the report a different analysis, but it didn't happen. In fact, I expected it. But the actual traffic impact analysis for the McDonald's in the surrounding lots did not indicate the requirement for any additional turn lanes either on either on Falcon Avenue or 18th Street or 53rd. So yes, we did look at it in detail.
Did, in that analysis, was there any consideration at all to any of those businesses having a drive-through? As opposed to, now granted you've talked about the bank, but the bank is, that's a different animal.
Yeah, we had the bank. We did what we knew about to begin with for the existing lots. For the remainder of the empty lots, we made an estimation. And we went from the low side to the high side on those empty lots to reflect basically what we have here now. So I guess what I'm saying is it's going to reflect existing conditions, including the McDonald's. So we had the high and we had the low that we included. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay.
A question for the city staff also is the sanitary sewer. Where does it go after heading north from the buffer area? Does it only serve the McDonald's?
It goes here from the adjoining area. This is the McDonald's property, and then it connects. There is a manhole over here in the adjoining lot on this lot right here. So it's right there.
So that's
serving two properties.
But that's the end of the sanitary sewer right there?
That's where it terminates.
So it really wouldn't be that difficult to move that sewer if we wanted to.
You can ask our city engineer what we'd be looking at for cost.
Well, I'm not asking for an estimate.
Well, it's part of...
I guess I'm confused as to what move it where.
Well, I'm not sure yet.
We've got...
Now, the question, you know, one of the things that bothers me is the fact that you've got a very intense use. Let's face it, this is going to be more intense than Frank's. And yet, the buffer zone between the residential area and this new use is less than the Franks because of the, you know, the sanitary sewer, you know, prohibits us from putting in a berm. So my point would be, as a condition, can we have that portion of the sanitary sewer that would be in the berm relocated, either take it farther to the north and put it in the driveway area of the McDonald's, or, you know, do something else with it. I'm not going to propose a solution, but, you know, move that as part of the condition so that we can get a berm of sufficient height to help ameliorate some of these issues we've got here.
Hence here, this is Janet Romer's.
Existing.
This is a separate lot. This sewer serves here.
It's empty. I can't remember.
So, Greg, does it terminate right there? It almost looks like it goes on to the southwest again on the one landscape drawing I'm looking at, if that's the sewer.
And the manhole
there. And then going to the west.
Right here.
That's the termination of it right there?
Yes.
Yeah, the line, the horizontal line that
that's
runs.
That's the one I'm asking about right there.
Toward lot 17, the end. that's an end manhole. And I believe what you're asking is, can we extend segment that's running from the south to the north, extend it up into McDonald's property, and extend the line to the east, keeping it outside the berm? The answer is yes, that can be done, I think. I'm sure that we have the elevation.
To this adjoining lot.
Yeah, that end manhole is intended to provide service for that end lot. So if we did extend it to the north, I don't see any reason why we couldn't.
Why you couldn't.
We would also have to have that second manhole extended to the east to provide.
But there's no practical reason other than perhaps cost why that couldn't be done.
Right.
Okay.
We've got the proposed sanitary surface flowing from McDonald's flowing into that manhole, so we'd need one anyway, right?
That's right.
Yes. Yes. And I'm sure the service to lot 17 or lot 2. I'm sure the service to lot 2 is coming out of that manhole. That's typically what we would have done.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see some way of improving the buffer, you know, and then that doesn't even get into the issues I have with the site plan itself. You know, I think we're doing an awful lot, putting an awful lot in a small area. So I've got real issues, and as far as the comment about the grease interceptor, it is shown outside the building. Granted, it'll probably be underground and sealed lid, but it is outside the building. then also, I also agree with the idea of having the garbage area directly adjacent to the residential. I think we ought to move that to further to the north and give it a lot better screening, perhaps even totally enclose it. I think that I'd recommend that we send this back to the planners and have them give us another shot at it. That's what I'd recommend.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify. So there's two ways of handling grease at our facility. The grease interceptor that you see on the plan is actually underground. That's mm-hmm. a tank that's underground, and that's meant to separate out the grease before it enters the sanitary. So that does get that remains underground, and only there's a manhole lid, and that gets pumped out every 6 months or so. So it's pretty insignificant. I mean, there's no odors or anything like that from that. And then the grease that's within the restaurant is pumped into what is essentially like the size of a water heater tank, stored and then pumped out into a truck from the building.
I see.
As far as the location of the trash enclosure there, I mean, if we could move it to the north, I don't see much of a problem with that, other than it becomes more the front of the site and pretty visible to 53rd. So, we're open to doing that if that would...
not a good thing to look at, right?
Mm-hmm. It's got to go somewhere.
Okay. So what's your pleasure? Somebody want to make a motion to do something?
I guess I'd like to make a couple comments, too, and maybe clarify a few points from my perspective as I look at this. And I do support what Mr. Rafferty is suggesting in maybe tabling this and looking at a revised site plan to address the trash enclosure and moving it to the northwest corner, perhaps, because I think that is one of the potential issues from a nuisance standpoint as far as the garbage truck, the beeping, the dropping of the dumpster, whatever it happens to be. Those are kind of noisy. I don't like the idea of it up in the front on the visible side, but by the same token, we would typically hide the garbage, and fortunately in this case it happens to be next to residential. And to that point, I know there's a lot of emotion about the timing of zoning and what was zoned what when. And from that standpoint, I guess, yes, I would consider that a lot of the neighbors were on notice that they were buying adjacent to C2 property. Have things changed along the way? Yes, somewhat. I would tend to think that a lot of the valuations are factored into the properties at this point. Anybody who would buy adjacent to an open lot would assume that they would encounter some kind of commercial use. To this intensity, don't know, but that certainly would be a factor in there. I think there are some ways we can improve it, and tonight I would probably be inclined to reject it if it came to a vote, but with some tweaks I'd probably be inclined to approve it, as well as addressing the hours of operation as part of what we approve. Mm-hmm. And to the point that the chairman made earlier, we are constrained by what the Board of Adjustment has done. We don't have the ability to open that decision back up, but we have the ability to address issues regarding the site plan, which I think we're adequately doing based on the comments that have been made.
I don't feel that there's adequate buffering between. I don't feel that the trees do it.
And the berm. And the berm.
Or lack of. And if this comes back, I would like to see site lighting included. I think it's an important thing to look at for this development.
I share a lot of these thoughts. I'm not a fan of moving the garbage up right next to our nice Bettendorf sign. which also goes along with, I'm not sure this is the first thing we want people seeing when they drive into Bettendorf, but my biggest issue with this is the traffic. I appreciate that there were some experts that did a traffic study on this, but picking up my laundry from time to time and trying to turn left, whether it's on 18th or on 53rd, is tough just about any time of the day. It would be even worse at the busy time. So I would probably be against this, even if it came back, because of the traffic on this. I share the residents' feelings on this, but again, zoning was changed, and hopefully your realtors did tell you that you were buying a house next to something that could end up being a McDonald's at some point. So just for clarity, that's not why I'm against it. I'm against it for the traffic issues that I foresee being a big problem in the future.
Could I just add one more thing, please? That since we're talking about maybe changing the site plan, and this is one thing that pertains especially to me and some of the other people who don't have fences along the berm in the backyard because maybe we don't have dogs or a pool or whatever. But the driveway, the entry driveway, the McDonald's over there is right on the empty lot next to it. And those two lots down from Frank's, you know, kids are kids, and some teenage kids will go out there at night and stuff like that. And since I don't have a fence, it's a nice shortcut to get to Frank's or when the ice cream store was out there. And so my wife and I and some of the other people who don't have fence, we have a real concern for public safety of our children, because McDonald's targets their ads to youth. And youth are going to go there, and those empty lots are next door. It's not much to go from their driveway over the berm and into our yard. So I don't know if a site map can be adjusted to protect us from that type of trespass and the public safety. But that's something I'd like considered if we're looking at a revised site map.
Okay. Thank you. Well, does somebody want to make a motion that we table this, or we until next month, and give the staff and McDonald's an opportunity maybe to address a couple of these problems?
I'd make that motion, Mr. Chairman, that we table case 11-022 and suggest that staff and the developer and company look at the comments that have been made and see if they can be incorporated into a revised site plan.
Just a question on the motion. Could we look at the difference between deferring and table?
I was just going to say, I said table, and what I probably should have said was defer. So let's defer.
Modify that to defer.
Yeah, defer the opinion until the next meeting and let McDonald's and the staff work on some of these issues and see what they can come up with.
I would second that motion.
Okay.
I respect that. Just a couple questions of clarification. So we're not shooting in the dark when we come back in front of you. In terms of designing something that would be an adequate buffer, is there a parameter that you'd like to spell out in terms of a berm height or some direction that you could provide that might be acceptable?
Just want to remind everybody that typically our berm height is restricted on the 3-to-1 slope.
Right.
So that would determine effectively the height. It doesn't determine the fence height per se, though.
I think you're going to have to work with staff and see what can be done. It makes sense.
Yeah, excuse me.
That's my thought anyway.
I agree with that. I wouldn't, in my opinion, let the slope be a deterrent. I guess I'd be looking at something similar to what is behind Frank's. And I, you know, you may have to go around the corner and put it on, what is it, lot two? You know, we're talking about some visual screening, and the buffer is very important to me. Also, I think the congestion inside the site, I don't know what you can do about that, because to me it's a very small site for this intensive a use. But I think that's also a concern that I have, is the traffic pattern inside your site. It could be, in some regards, in my mind anyway, a bit unsafe with two lanes of traffic and then people trying to back up to get out. So those are other concerns, along with the location of the garbage, lighting, noise. And we may end up talking about, you know, hours of operation, limiting when you can pick up your garbage. Those are all things that are on the table as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion? The motion is to defer this until the next meeting and give the staff and McDonald's and for that matter, the public an opportunity maybe to tweak this a little bit and see if we can't get better satisfaction. So
yeah, maybe a meeting with the residents.
Right. Mm-hmm. Residents.
Yeah, and Paul makes a good point. If the audience didn't hear that, what we've done in some other developments is having the developer company in particular, I know we've had that several times, to kind of look at plans and alternatives and discuss, and that gives you an opportunity to have a better meeting of the minds if that's available or an opportunity before you get to this point. So might suggest that as well.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. The last thing is commission update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Subsequent to the last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, City Council followed your recommendation approving the site development plan for Upper Iowa University at the Shops of Duck Creek. The preliminary plat for the Shutter Farm Edition, which is within 2 mile extraterritorial jurisdiction. The final plat and the site development plan for Maroff Second Edition and the Vizient parking lot, respectively. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Okay. You stand adjourned. Thank you all for coming tonight.